We're recapping the last 2 weeks of Giants training camp, who stood out, who hasn't, and we're taking a look at the New York Giants' first preseason game coming up Thursday against the New England Patriots. I'm joined by Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. That's coming up next on the Locked On Giants podcast.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Giants podcast, part of the Locked On podcast family, your team every day. This episode of the Locked On Giants podcast is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. My name is Patricia Traina. I am your host. And joining me on today's podcast is one Mr. Edward Valentine of Big Blue View. We are going to talk about where the Giants are currently after 2 weeks of training camp. They begin their third week as you are viewing this podcast. And the Giants also have a preseason game coming up on Thursday night against the New England Patriots up in Foxborough. We're going to spin ahead and we're going to talk about expectations and what we'll be looking for. So, Edward, as always, welcome to the program. Glad to see you again.
And thank you for having me, Patty. I promise that I will try to behave. I will try.
He will try. You heard that, folks. You're my witness, everybody. He's going to try to behave. All right, Edward, 2 weeks in now on training camp. We've seen quite a bit. To an extent, you have to temper some of your enthusiasm or disappointment. But what are your takeaways, your overall takeaways on practice structure, on how the systems on offense and defense are falling into place, and just what you have seen overall?
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about practice structure and all of that, Patty, I've been pretty impressed by the way that Brian Daboll has run these practices. I think that each and every day he's had a solid plan for what he wants to accomplish. Each day has been a different situation. I thought it was interesting. You know, they started training camp in the acclimation period with the padless practices, and they worked a lot of short yardage stuff. They worked red zone. They worked goal line. They worked all of that stuff that didn't require, you know, guys to run 40, 50 yards. So they sort of eased into it. I think, you know, as Brian Daboll said the other day after the fan fest, he talked about a lot of good work having been done. I think they have done a lot of good work. That doesn't mean that they're anywhere near ready, you know, for the regular season. That doesn't mean they're going to go win 11 or 12 games. But I do think that, you know, that this team, you know, to my eyes anyway, is having a productive, solid training camp to this point.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. And, you know, for the most part, it's been a relatively healthy training camp, knock on wood. A few guys have gotten banged up, but some guys are coming back. You know, Brian Daboll spoke about that on Sunday, about the plan that they had. But Ed, let's talk about specific players, before we go ahead to the Patriots game coming up on Thursday. We got to start with the two most polarizing players on this team, starting with Daniel Jones. Now, depending on your perspective, Daniel Jones has started to look up. He's had or he's continuing to have some of the same issues with last time. I don't know about you, but it's almost hard to tell in some instances because, A, we don't know what the calls are, obviously. B, there have been throws that have been made where there should have been sacks or pressures or hits. I mean, when you look at Daniel Jones, what are you seeing, and do you think he's making progress?
Patty, it's funny because I wrote a little bit about Daniel Jones in I think it was in a mailbag answer this weekend, and the reality of it is, for me, we're not really going to learn anything about Daniel Jones until we get to week one against the Tennessee Titans. The Giants are installing a new offense. He's working with Kenny Golladay. He's working with Kadarius Toney in this new offense. And Some days it's going to look great. Some days it's going to look terrible. And, you know, we don't know, like every day Brian Daboll tells us what the situation is. And if they're going to practice third and 10, it's not going to look good. I'm sorry. It's just not going to look good because, you know, Wink Martindale is over there licking his chops when it's third and 10, because he can send all sorts of exotic blitz packages. And you know, it's funny, people were freaking out Friday night because there were some pressures against Jones. And I looked at that and you can say, oh my God, the Giants couldn't pick up any of these pressures. Well, isn't that what they hired Wink Martindale for? Isn't that his reputation? Isn't that what Wink Martindale does? Creates free runners to the quarterback. Isn't that what they brought him in to do? So why should we be surprised in a scrimmage that we see free runners? So you can look at that as a good thing, because he's doing what they brought him to the Giants to do on defense. As for Daniel Jones, as I said, Patty, some days it's going to look great. Some days it isn't. We don't know if they're running some stuff on a given day that they're running for the first time. As Brian Daboll said, they're practicing some stuff and they've got some concepts in the passing game that they're running and experimenting with and that they're going to throw out. And so we don't know what those are. Has Jones been great every day? No. Has he been horrible every day? No. He's had some bad days. Shoot, Friday night, Patty, he was awful in the first series of plays that he was on the field for. But you know what I charted him as? In the second set of plays, I charted him as 10 of 14 in the second set of plays. I think everybody would sign up for 10 of 14 from Daniel Jones, you know, at any given stretch. I think you'd sign up for that. I think you'd sign up for that with most quarterbacks. So he was down. He was up. It's still 2 weeks into training camp. It's still a lot of new concepts, a lot of new players. It's not going to look perfect. It's not supposed to look perfect.
You're right. And the other thing that we need to stress is we can throw the numbers out right now because Daboll has said it's about the decisions. Daniel Jones could go 14 of 14, but if they're all checkdowns when they're supposed to be down the field, that's not going to fly with Daboll and Kafka. They're going to obviously sit them down and say, hey, look, you threw checkdowns and we needed you to throw down the field. So that's the other thing we have to take into consideration. That's why reporting numbers, you know, you got to take them with a grain of salt at this time of year.
Yeah. And I do it, Patty. I do it. Right. I write the numbers down because people want the numbers, sure. but you have to have context to those numbers. Mm-hmm. And we don't, even though we're on the sideline, even though we're watching, even though we see it, we chart it, we can tell you what looks like a good throw and a bad throw. We don't always have all of the context because we don't know what the purpose is sometimes.
Exactly. I mean, you know, you can look and see, for example, maybe he throws a perfectly placed ball over the receiver's shoulder where only the receiver can get it. And it's a completion. You know, you can look at throws like that. And he's made a few of those in the first 2 weeks, but then you can look at throws where maybe he's thrown the ball behind the receiver and say, okay, was that his fault? Or was it the receiver took an option that shouldn't have been, you know, right, that they weren't on the same page. So it's very tricky. And I agree with you that Daniel Jones, we're going to start to see things hopefully in the games. Now, obviously the preseason games are not going to game plan for the opponents, but that's when you kind of take the kid gloves off. You know that Jones will be, they'll be allowed to hit him, which is something they haven't done, obviously. They'll be able to get after him. It's going to be as close as possible to real football once we get into these preseason games, minus the game plan, of course.
Right.
All right. Another polarizing player we need to talk about, Saquon Barkley. Now, Ed, I watch Saquon Barkley, and I think to myself, there are times when he looks like the 2018 version we saw. You can see he's running with confidence. He's really taking to this offense. He's just having fun again, which is something I don't think we could say he's had since 2018 because of the injuries in part and partially because of how he was deployed. What are you seeing from Saquon Barkley?
I see all the same things that you see, Patty. I see, you know, Brian Daboll called him explosive. I see a guy, and he's right, but I see a guy who looks better to me than he's looked, you know, since he started with the rash of injuries in 2019, you know, ever since that first high ankle sprain. Ever since then, I don't think we've seen Barkley at his best. You know, the numbers back that up. You know, he lost almost a full year to the knee injury. Last year, you know, everybody hoped to see the Adrian Peterson, you know, come back from the ACL, where Adrian Peterson had, you know, had a 2,000 yard season the year coming back from his ACL. Well, we learned, you know, the hard way, Adrian Peterson was the outlier. You can't expect that. You know, that doesn't always happen. Guys quite often need a year or more, you know, to fully come all the way back. Is Saquon Barkley the same guy he was in 2018? I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. I don't think he knows. I think he wants to believe that he is. I think he has an opportunity to have a really good season in this offense. And you know, Patty, something that I wanted to mention about Saquon that I have seen in some of these padded practices, in some of these run drills, and I think it's an underrated yet really important thing, because we've criticized Saquon Barkley for years for dancing in the hole, for not taking the handoff and just hitting the ball up in there and taking the play that exists. And I don't know if this will continue when it counts, but for me, I watch Saquon Barkley run and he's taking these plays where they're supposed to go.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I see. He is taking these plays where they're supposed to go. And I think that's great.
You're right. And there hasn't been as much dancing, and you can attribute some of that to the fact that the offensive line's run blocking has been better. You know, it's still a work in progress, but it's heading in the right direction, or at least it looks like it's heading in the right direction. That was a big factor in Saquon's game, you know, struggles and whatnot. And speaking of the offensive line, Ed, you know, some injuries with the depth there, but overall, you know, I know we can't really tell with the offensive line until they get into a real game scenario, but you know, Andrew Thomas, we've seen him, you know, hold his own. Evan Neal, we've seen a few struggles, typical for a rookie. The interior of the offensive line, they're still trying to figure out what they're going to do at backup center, which to me, I think is the biggest question mark right now on this team. What are your thoughts about the offensive line?
Well, I think you're right about backup center, Patty. I think that's, you know, that's an issue right there. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a long-term injury to John Feliciano. I wouldn't be surprised if the answer is Shane Lemieux at center and Josh Azudu at guard. I wouldn't be surprised at that at all. That the offense seems to, at least let's put it this way, I haven't seen any bad snaps from Shane Lemieux yet. Mm-hmm. So, and you can't even start to have your offense if you can't successfully deliver the shotgun snap to the quarterback. So I wouldn't be surprised if Lemieux is the answer as to who is the true backup center. But look, when it comes to Andrew Thomas and Evan Neal, Andrew Thomas, to my eyes, has been rock solid every time I've been at practice, and I've missed a couple of practices, but every time I've watched him, he's been absolutely rock solid. Has he shut down Kayvon Thibodeau on every single rep? No. And you know what? That's okay, because the Giants drafted Kayvon Thibodeau to beat really good NFL tackles on occasion. And Andrew Thomas is a really good NFL tackle. And if Kayvon Thibodeau was never beating Andrew Thomas, we'd be starting to wonder if the Giants had made a mistake drafting the kid. So it's okay if he beats Thomas once in a while. And it's okay when Thomas beats him on occasion. That's what good players are supposed to do. They're supposed to work at it and make each other better. As for Evan Neal, it's interesting. If you really watch Evan Neal, where have we seen Evan Neal struggle? We've seen Evan Neal struggle mostly in these one-on-one drills. And I talked to Big Blue View's Nick Filato a little bit about this, and I talked to an offensive line coach about this. And the fact of the matter is, one-on-one drills are set up to be advantage defense because you don't have rushers on either side of you. You don't have a scheme. You have a two-way go. You have a three-way go if you want a bull rush. You can do anything you want as the pass rusher. You don't have to worry about getting in the way of guys on either side of you. The other thing that I found that was interesting is that when I was talking to an offensive line coach about this, he said, you will see offensive linemen do a lot of experimentation in their sets. They will try new techniques. They will try things that they wouldn't otherwise do, you know, in game settings. And when I watch Evan Neal, I haven't seen him struggle really at all in the 11-on-11 settings. In 11-on-11, yeah, he had a holding penalty the other night against Kayvon Thibodeau. But, you know, Thibodeau's drawn a lot of holding penalties from a lot of people so far in camp. So that it is what it is, and you're not going to go through a whole season and never have a holding penalty. It's just not going to happen. Hmm. But to me, when I watch Neal in these 11-on-11 settings, you know, he drove a defender from the 10-yard line into the end zone on a play the other night. And I'm not seeing him struggle when it's 11-on-11, and I'm encouraged by that. As for the interior of the offensive line, you know, we will have to wait and see. I think they're going to be okay. I think they've got a lot of competent players in there, you know, with Feliciano and Glowinski and Shane Lemieux and, you know, some of the other veteran guys that they've got. And Josh Azudu is a guy who, to me, he's becoming more and more important to this team by the day, even if he's not going to start, because we've seen him play every position but center at this point.
Yeah.
So to me, he's first guy off the bench, no matter who gets hurt at this point.
All right, Giant fans, we have more coming up for you on today's Locked On Giants podcast. But first, if you're living paycheck to paycheck or struggling to make ends meet, it can really be stressful when unexpected expenses come up. Well, now Dave can help you get out of a pinch when you really need it. Dave is the banking app that can help you get up to $500. There's no interest and no credit check needed. Millions of people have already downloaded the Dave app to get the financial relief they need. Visit the App Store today and download Dave. That's D-A-V-E. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500. Future you will thank you. Terms and conditions apply and instant transfer fees apply. Visit dave.com/legal for complete information. Banking provided by Evolve, member FDIC. All right, Ed, let's talk about the defense a little bit. We mentioned, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau a little bit and what a absolute handful he has been for the offensive line. But, you know, you look at him, you look at Leonard Williams, who right now looks like he's in midseason form. Dexter Lawrence has been pushing the pocket, getting some pressure. And just, you know, Allerson Smith is another guy. I know you spoke with him, who's been getting some first team reps with Azeez Ojulari sitting out due to a hamstring strain. How excited are you by this pass rush? You know, for the first time, I think the Giants have multiple guys who maybe need a little extra attention from the opposing offensive coordinator.
Isn't that amazing, Patty?
I didn't know that was allowed.
I didn't either. It's like, you know, I'm thinking back to the days when the Giants had Justin Tuck and they had OC Umanyora, and, you know, and they drafted Jason Pierre-Paul, and they still had Matthias Kiwanuka, And they were playing Mathias Kiwanuka out of position for the simple, you know, simply to get him on the field, you know, simply because they wanted his presence on the field. They wanted his pass rush in the game. And who knows if this group is going to turn out to be as successful as that group was, but it's exciting to look at it and think, you know, there are options here. There are, you know, Ellerson Smith looks like a really good player. You know, Quincy Roche had a nice year last year, and all of a sudden you're not looking at it and going, you know, where's the pass rush going to come from? You're looking at it and saying, well, you know, how are they going to get all of these guys on the field? Yeah. And that's a big difference.
And then you throw in some of the blitzes we've seen coming from the defensive secondary. We've seen overloads to one side. We've seen pressure coming from both cornerbacks. I mean, we've seen some really creative stuff with the defensive alignment.
Yeah, and to be fair, we have also seen with some of those overload blitzes and some of those creative things, we have seen free runners to the quarterback. We have seen a lot of pressure. We have seen quarterbacks running for their lives. But there's also a flip side to that. There is live by the blitz and die by the blitz. Mm-hmm. During the last week, we saw, I can think of two really big plays. That one came to Matt Breida, who I know is your guy, Matt Breida. Mm-hmm. You know, one of your favorites. There was a screen pass from Tyrod Taylor where he just dumped the ball over the head of a blitz. And you know, Matt Breida catches the ball and he's basically got 65 or 70 yards of clear sailing because he's got about five blockers and maybe one defender. So yeah. What's going to happen is, as I said, you live by the blitz, you die by the blitz. It's going to make you really happy. Sometimes it's fun. It's exciting. Defenders love it. But every so often when you don't get home, you know, when you don't get home and you're sending six, seven guys, you leave yourself with a problem.
Yeah, that's very true. But, you know, look, let's face it. The Giants are probably going to give up a few big plays this year, probably more than they have in years past. But if they can get a few more sacks and keep that quarterback off his mark for most of the game.
Sure.
I think most people would sign up for that.
Oh, absolutely. You? Absolutely. As long as we don't see any Greg Williams, you know, zero blitz with the game on the line on the final play kind of stuff. As long as we don't see any of that, I think we're good.
Yeah, for sure. All right. I want to ask you about the change in the defense. And this came out last week. Xavier McKinney, a safety, is going to be calling the plays instead of having a middle linebacker do it, which the Giants have historically done. I think most teams have their middle linebacker actually call the plays. The Giants, and I know Wink Martindale did that in Baltimore. He had the safety call the plays too. But what are your thoughts about that? I mean, McKinney's a guy who I think has Pro Bowl potential. I mean, they're at putting so much more on his plate. And it's stuff that he did when he was at Alabama. And I spoke to him one-on-one last week, and he said he absolutely loves it. And he was just, you know, basically salivating to get out there and call plays and kind of take charge of that defense.
Well, Patty, when you think about it, I had thought a lot about McKinney, you know, during the offseason. And when you look at this Giants defense, you look at the players that they have, you look at the players that they lost in the offseason, Logan Ryan, James Bradbury, those guys, you look at where Blake Martinez is in his career and in his contract, which is, you know, the last year of his contract, coming off an ACL, and he's still working his way back from that. He's not taking full reps most days. When you look at it, I thought, you know, by the end of the year, this is even before camp started, I thought by the end of the year, this is really going to be Xavier McKinney's defense. And what Wink Martindale really did here, and it makes absolute sense, was he just sort of, he turned up the clock on that. He pushed it forward and he made it Xavier McKinney's defense now. And it makes perfect sense to me because he's the long-term guy. He's, you know, he's the core guy. He's the centerpiece. Him, maybe, you know, Leonard Williams, maybe Dexter Lawrence, if the Giants decide to give him a second contract, Thibodeau, Azeez Ojulari. But Xavier McKinney is the centerpiece of that defense. He's certainly smart enough to handle, you know, calling those signals. And the other thing, you and I have talked about this a couple times, Patty. I don't know how much these linebackers are actually going to be on the field. There are going to be a lot of occasions where we see one linebacker on the field. We see the Giants. I mean, the Giants' base defense at this point is two down linemen, two stand-up edge guys, sometimes two linebackers, sometimes one linebacker, and, you know, an extra defensive backs. So, So it makes a lot of sense to me, and it just sort of pushed forward, you know, kind of what I thought was coming, which was this becoming Xavier McKinney's defense anyway.
And he has embraced that role. All right, Ed, before we spin ahead and look at Thursday night's game, I want to talk a little bit about the cornerback situation. Big concern for a lot of people after they had to part ways with James Bradbury. A lot of questions. Do they have enough? You know, are they going to get by? Aaron Robinson, I think, has been having a really good camp. On the other side of Dory Jackson has stepped up. He's been having a good camp. We've seen Darnay Holmes make a few plays in the slot. This kid, Darren Evans, quietly has kind of come on. Cordell Flott is in there. I mean, do you feel better about the cornerback situation now than maybe you did a few months ago?
Well, that's a yes and a no, Patty, because I feel very good about Aaron Robinson. I feel really good. Adoree Jackson is a good player. The problem that Adoree Jackson has always had, and we saw it Friday night in the Fan Fest.
Durability.
When you have, no, it's not necessarily durability. It's when you step up in front of a wide receiver and get your hands on the ball, you've got to catch it. You've got to catch it and create that turnover. I mean, the Giants lost the game last year because Adoree Jackson dropped an interception in the end zone. And he's a really good player. But to take that next step, he's got to make those catches. But again, I think he's a good player. He can put himself in position. It's, you know, the big question is whether he'll make those plays. Aaron Robinson, if he stays healthy, I think Aaron Robinson's a good player. I think Darnay Holmes is a good player. Like you said, we've seen flashes from, you know, from some of the backup guys. But for me, my concern is still, you know, what happens if one of those guys gets hurt? Because I still don't know if I can trust Darren Evans. Can I trust Cordell Flott? You know, can I trust Rodarius Williams? Can I trust Michael Jacquet? I don't know. And I don't think the Giants know at this point either. I wouldn't be surprised if that's a position where when roster cuts get made at the end of the preseason, I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants look to supplement that position. You know, because like I said, I feel good about the first three, and I still don't know what they have behind them.
All right, Giant fans, we have more coming up for you on today's Locked On Giants podcast. But first, BetOnline is the only place that offers the best information on the latest odds, contests, and player props for all your sports betting needs. No matter what sport you're into, BetOnline.net has you covered. Plus, they offer everything you need to know for live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. Head on over to BetOnline.net today to learn more about the trends and the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Let's spin ahead to Thursday night's preseason opener. It's going to be up in New England in Foxborough against the Patriots. Giants get to see old friend Joe Judge, who's now, I think.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
I think he's now the quarterback's coach up there, right? Or he's an offensive assistant. I don't even know what his title is, but Belichick kind of muddies the titles up there.
All I know is the last I read, you know, Belichick has never named an offensive coordinator, but Matt Patricia is the offensive coordinator, and Matt Patricia does most of the work with Mac Jones. And Belichick or not Belichick. I mean, Joe Judge basically works with the backup quarterbacks.
All right.
You know, that's the last I read from the, you know, from I think it was in the Boston Globe was the last I read was Joe basically has been kind of pushed to the background, but who knows, you know, so it is what it is.
Yeah. That's up for the Patriot writers to figure out, but yep. Let's talk about, you know, again, there's not going to be any game planning. Basically, it's going to be a one-on-one type of deal. You know, mm-hmm. What are some of the matchups you look at that you think are going to be really good ones for the Giant coaches to make some assessments on what they've got?
Well, first of all, let me say this, Patty. I don't want to see guys get overextended. I don't want to see any of the frontline Giants guys get hurt. But I am ecstatic that Brian Daboll said the other day that he expects everyone who's healthy and available to play. I don't care if it's three plays. I don't care if it's one series. You know, I don't care. Get on the field, get hit, take a bump, you know, go up against somebody that's not on your own team. You know, get a little bit of live action. The Giants didn't do that at the beginning of the preseason last year, and I think they realized after a while that had been a mistake. So they're such a work in progress, Patty, that you know, with the communication in the passing game and all of those things in the new offensive line, even if it's only 4 or 5 reps, it can't hurt them. You know, it can't hurt them. It can only help them to get out there and have those reps. I'm not really all that concerned about individual matchups. I do want to see some of these cornerbacks. I do want to see, you know, I think that a guy who might need to make a play or two here in the preseason is Quincy Roche. I think Quincy was good in his opportunities last year, but right now, Ellerson Smith has been better. And to be honest with you, O'Shane Zimenez keeps showing up a lot more than Quincy does. And O'Shane Zimenez has even seen some first team reps with Azeez Ojulari out. So, So to me, I'm kind of looking at guys who need to show up in some of these games and those are, you know, those are two of the guys that I think need to kind of show up.
Yeah, I definitely agree. They need to show up. Darius Slayton's another one who needs to do something if he wants to hold on to his roster spot. I don't think he got any first team reps the other night during the scrimmage. And I'm trying to think, I don't think he got second team reps. Wasn't he running with the third?
He was running with the third team. He may have gotten a couple of second team reps. And when it comes to Slayton, Patty, I get destroyed by readers at Big Blue View every time I talk about Slayton perhaps not mentioning the team or not making the 53-man roster. And what I wrote on Sunday was, look, at some point, you have to begin to believe what your eyes are telling you. You have to begin to believe what you're seeing. Darius Slayton ran with the third team on Friday night and did nothing. He did nothing, absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Who ran with the first team as, you know, rotating in? Colin Johnston got a bunch of reps. Richie James got a bunch of reps. Mm-hmm. CJ Board got a bunch of reps. Mm-hmm. And what does that tell you?
They're ahead.
Coaches are not going to waste reps just to give a guy a rep. You know, there just aren't enough reps to waste them. They're not going to run guys out there with the first team, you know, for, you know, just for kicks, just for fun, just to be nice to a guy. You know, so if you want those reps, you've got to earn it. And Slayton's a guy that's going to have to make some plays if he wants to make this team.
Absolutely. All right. So we know we don't want to see any injuries. Obviously, the result of the game doesn't matter. Annual reminder, by the way, folks, because I know some people are going to bug out if the score is lopsided either way. Doesn't matter, folks. It doesn't count towards the standings. That said, Edward, at the end of the night, what do you hope the Giants have shown you?
What I think I want to see, Patty, is some sense of organization. I just want to see, a team that looks like, and we always see ragtag play. We get late in the games, first preseason game, we get to the end of the third quarter, the fourth quarter. We always see some ragtag kind of stuff that just doesn't look good. You know, and you have to remember that a lot of these guys are just, you know, they're not going to be NFL players, or they just haven't gotten a lot of reps. But I just want to see a team that to me, it looks like it knows what it's doing. That looks like, you know, that plays with some enthusiasm, considering that it's a first preseason game. I'd love to see, in whatever limited reps the first teams get, you know, I'd love to see a nice drive and on offense, and I'd love to see a three and out from the defense. You know, get in, get out, look like you know what you're doing, look like you make some progress. You know, and that, to me, that's really, from an overall team perspective, that's all you can really look for, is some sense of organization.
And again, no injuries, please.
There you go, Patty. There you go.
All right.
The Giants deserve that, you know, once, don't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. They've been to lead the league in injuries or be up there among the league leaders. I mean, that's the one of the few stats you don't want to be the league leader in.
No.
Definitely not. All right. Edward, appreciate the time as always. Folks, make sure you check out his channel as well, Big Blue View Radio, where I will be doing a guest spot as well. Make sure you also, if you check out Giants Country, also check out Big Blue View. They do good work over there. And as you can see, Edward's getting ready to razz me.
No, I'm not, Patty. I was just thinking, I'm sitting here thinking, how do I sneak in the fact that I behaved?
Yes, you did. See, I knew a razz was coming. Kind of a sort of
I behaved.
Razz. You did behave. Very good, Edward. For that, I'll give you back your rain jacket that you left in the press box the other night. See, I'm nice to him, folks. There he left his rain jacket behind, and I saw that, and I said, I'll take it back, and I'll give it to him when I see it. I could have thrown it in the garbage, but I didn't, because I'm too nice. So anyway, thank you so much, Giant fans, for tuning into this episode of the Locked On Giants podcast. Don't forget, tomorrow we're bringing back Twitter Tuesday. So if you have a question, you know what to do. Send it to me by email. The address is in the show notes. You can tweet it to me at Patricia_TrainerMarket. Ask PTrain so I see it. Thank you for making us your first listen of the day, or for watching on YouTube, your first watch of the day. For Ed Valentine and Patricia Traina, we will see you tomorrow, Giant fans.